So we finally got some anime on this bitch now. Shit.
Yay! I know the hybrid's gonna be happy.
He's happy with it. If you put robots and some goddamn Japanese characters, some big ass eyes, some hands that don't look like regular hands, they just look like somebody just said, "Oh, fuck it, I'm not gonna pitch this in the hands." That motherfucker will be happy, okay?
Now wait a minute. Yes. We're talking about anime, but we're talking about the anime master.
Yeah, because this is Miyazaki's last film, if I'm not mistaken.
You are correct. It is. It's his last one.
I'm so sad, Leo. And, I don't know about you, but I'm a big fan of Miyazaki's work.
I really am. I love the whimsical feeling that he has with a lot of his films. Totoro, Spirit Away, really. Holy shit.
Spirit, my favorite, definitely.
Yeah, just the guy has a knack for telling these whimsical kind of fairy tales, if you really think about it.
Actually, yeah, that's a good word to bring up in here, because this one, I saw the trailers, previews, and everything, didn't know what it was still about, never looked up anything about it, but I realized it was coming out wide release, and that's why I asked you. I said, hey, if you see this, let me know. We can review this, because I'm definitely going to go see it.
I was kind of in the plane of, I thought this was going to get a limited release on all of them, and you're like, nah, it's going wide. I was like, woo, it actually is coming out.
And you know, halfway through the film, I was, like you said, I thought it was still a fairy tale, and then towards the end, oh my god, the end is so beautiful.
Yeah.
the end is so beautiful, dude. I was looking at that, I was like, there's so much more to this story that's going on here. We're talking about the Wind Rises, people.
Yeah, and really, I've read a lot of reviews that have said this, and I completely agree with it. This is his most mature work to date. It's also the only one that's rated PG-13.
It's actually, yeah, very mature. Is it really? It's only PG-13 film?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that. I didn't know what rating it was, to be honest.
Yeah, it was PG-13 due to the violence.
Oh, yeah. There was a lot of blood and shit going on. mainly the blood wasn't coming from somebody stabbing someone. Maybe somebody was having a sentimental little problem going on later in the story. But we'll get into it. Oh, and plus the effects of the earthquakes and shit. Oh, beautiful.
Yeah.
That shit was beautiful.
Well,
our
story here involves Jiro Horikoshi. I think is his name. We're
gonna fuck some names up, people.
Yeah, we're gonna fuck some major names up. Jiro Horisoki, which we saw the English dub, so he's voiced by Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Oh, you saw the English dub?
I did.
I had a subtitle.
Okay, I saw the English dub, and an English dub, so maybe you and I, maybe there's some differences here, but in the English dub, he was voiced by Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Yeah, I heard that. So since you just see the subtitle, how was the English one?
It's interesting because a lot of these English dubs, I personally like listening to the English dubs more. But mm-hmm. I've heard from a lot of people that they omit some stuff sometimes when they do that.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of feel like since this was a more mature subject material, they didn't this time. I could be wrong for all I know, but. Gordon-Levitt, all the voice cast does a great job with their roles.
Then we need to switch movies then. I'll give you my subtitle one and get you in. We can come back for another review then.
Yeah, the English dub cast, you got Joseph Gordon-Levitt as Jiro Horisoki, Emily Blunt is Naoko, John Krasinski, who actually does a really good job, is Hanjo. They got a really, really, really good cast for this one, including
I had all Asian cast, and I ain't even gonna try to pronounce their names.
Yeah.
I was looking up names there, and I was like, huh?
Yeah.
And I heard Justin Lin was voicing one of them, but then when I saw the movie, I was just like, but this is subtitles. So what is there release? I didn't know they were releasing an English dub. I was like, is this an English dub? I was like, I don't want to hear his voice. But if you say it's great, then I believe you.
Yeah. The thing that's also notable about this film is that Jiro Horikoshi, this is based off a real person.
I heard that too, and it's said at the end of the credits as well.
Yeah, Jiro Horisoki, yeah, he's a real person.
Yeah, that's Miyazaki's brother.
No, all joking aside, he actually was a Japanese air pilot designer. And he created the Mitsubishi A6M Zero Fighter, which is touched upon in this movie.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say the Mitsubishi was played a big part in the career, from what I heard.
Right.
It was pretty much game is up and rising. Whatever. And that's pretty much what you see at the beginning of this film. It's like a little boy's dream of wanting to create planes because he realized he can't be a pilot. And he goes to, I guess, work in that field of work and realizing that's a lot difficult than it is. But then once he finally understands of what he wants to make Japan its own custom different airplane, different than the other ones, and then later in the story, it becomes almost a love interest, not only for his career, but for a certain little lady in his life as well.
Nyoko.
Yeah, Nyoko, which I'm not gonna lie, that was beautiful, dude.
Oh, yeah, I mean, at its heart, people, this is a tragic love story in two ways.
Yeah, really, that ending left me so... What the fuck happened to her?
Yeah.
Go back and get her.
Yeah. We're gonna get to the ending soon, people, but there's two reasons why this is a tragic, you know, it's a tragic love story in a human form, and as P1 said, this guy loves his career, and it's kind of tragic to see what exactly happens with his career.
Yeah. And another thing, too, is his love for the Nyoko, when she gets introduced, she understands his love for his career, and she feels as if she's a motivation to keep him going into that career, especially in the part where we later find out, and here's the spoiler for you guys, when we later find out she's dying.
Tuberculosis.
Yeah, exactly, and it pretty much, I guess her death of wanting for him to be around her, it motivated him to even get this project done, which he worked, which was the Mitsubishi project, and yet he still accomplished that and still was there for his wife at the same time, and she felt like she needed to be there with him for motivation, and I thought that was just fucking beautiful how they handled it.
Yeah, no, it's a realistic love story, you know, and the mm-hmm. and the reason this is so tragic to me is because I, you know, we've talked on here before, both of us love history, like, we've studied World War II. We know what happened to these Mitsubishi planes. Yeah, people, if you're wondering why we're laughing so hard at the cruel irony, these Mitsubishi planes were the ones primarily used by kamikaze pilots.
Yeah, I'm gonna say.
Which they don't touch on in the movie until near the end.
Yeah, they bring it up in the movie, but then they're just like, hey, remember this love story? I'm not worried about these bomber planes right here. He's like, yeah, I don't think they want to touch that part. But there, you know what? Towards the end, there was that one scene where he was walking in the debris and rubble of all the destroyed planes and shit like that. I thought that was beautifully shot, how they shot that down. And
oh, hell yeah, it was. It drive home. You know, you're right. They kind of dance around the subject because they're like, we don't want to get in trouble for this. Hey, look!
Mm-hmm.
But they touch upon it enough that, to me, it still feels genuine. Like, it still feels like a plot point that if this story were to continue, that would mm-hmm. be the main focus of the story from there on out. But you're absolutely right in the fact that the ending of this movie, especially with Nyoko and what ends up happening to her, and just the way that it's shot, it's composed, everything, it's just, it's beautiful to watch. It really is.
Exactly. And exactly, and like you said, that's a perfect word. You danced around. They danced around it, but they brought it up so much that it never felt like it was a throwaway plot. I didn't need that in here or whatever. Like, because they kept bringing it back up every now and then, but they didn't want that to be the center focus of what this guy's story was.
His
story was pretty much his love for this girl and these planes there. So I thought they handled that perfectly. I don't know who did the editing on this, but and kudos off to that guy.
The editing was, the guy who's edited all of his other films.
Okay, same people then, I guess.
Yeah, it's literally people, it is all the same crew that has done every Miyazaki film.
Oh, okay, yeah. No problem here. I mean, the first half of the movie, I didn't know where it was going to go, I didn't know what they were going to do, I was enjoying what I was seeing, I like this guy's passion and drive, was really getting to me, I was just like, yeah, dude, get out there, like, you see a kid who has this little dream, and pretty much he gets told you can't do that, and then he goes out and just shows that he's the best at doing it, and you see this, and you're just like, how is this story going to wrap up? I know they're not going to go, like Leighton said, the World War II angle, And then you see this woman that's introduced here, and you see that they kind of stick over. They actually, at the beginning, they kind of danced around her a little bit too, and to the point where they brought her back and made her a bigger part of the plot. And he was like, okay, I think I've seen where the. I like the movie because it was unpredictable.
Yeah, I agree. I guess my only little complaints, I have a little bit of the pacing at the beginning and the middle kind of gets off until the love interest comes in. It just kind of doesn't, it doesn't seem like it's really going anywhere until.
I guess that's what I meant too. You don't know really what the story is. And plus the movie is over 2 hours, right?
Yes, it is. It's 127 minutes, 126 minutes. Insane. So it's just barely over 2 hours.
They could have shaved a little bit off, like somewhere in the middle, maybe. There was a couple of scenes in there that I was just like, oh, okay. But they were beautiful to look at. But like Leighton said, I agree with him personally. The pacing was a little one, especially if you don't know what the movie is about, where it's going, or anything like that. Because there were some times I was lost. It's not a bad way of that. They're bad storytelling. I was lost some more seeing, like, where's this going to go? I couldn't predict where this movie was going to go.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's weird. It's very weird because it seems so odd that this is the last movie we're going to see from him. And there's some people who have said that ending could be a metaphor for his career. I'm like, God damn it, it makes sense!
They don't say that at all, man. Damn. Oh, shit. Hey, you know what? Actually, when you said that, I knew you was going to fucking... So I knew somebody's going to tell me some shit like that. Because you remember that ending scene where he's just standing there and he's looking at the debris of destruction and shit, and there's the grass is blowing by, and he's just looking at it, it's like, what kind of a fucked up sad ending right now?
It's like, oh, I get it. It's a metaphor for the fact.
It's done, but when you find out when Oku.
I was going to say.
When you find out Oku dies and shit. Go ahead.
Go on.
I was going to say, when you find out Oku dies, you just see him standing and looking at the breeze and shit. And it almost looks like he want to look back and you see Miyazaki's face on that shit or something like that. Like, what?
Miyazaki's looking out in the modern day animated films. He's seen amongst the debris. He's seen amongst the debris the nut job in Ice Age 5.
See what you got up and coming? Good luck, folks.
Aww. Damn. All right. Well, what would you give it?
I agree completely with what you said as far as the pacing at the beginning. It would have been such a bad thing either if a little bit was cut off, because it was over 2 hours. I thought it was pretty late. I'm going to give it like, oh, it's destroying buildings and stuff like that. But the way they did it, it was just so animally done. The main character here, his drive and passion is so admirable. Like, you just can't look at it and admire it, even though you know the tragedy is about to come forth. And then 1, 2, 3, they show you in the film.
Well, you ain't lying about that shit.
Yeah. Hey, I like how we said they danced around it, but shit, when they wanted to show the destruction of them fucking planes, them motherfuckers was upside down and shit.
Bang.
Yeah, exactly. They said dance around this.
I also read he's getting there's heavy controversy around this film in Japan.
I would love to read some comments on that one, then.
Just look around the internet. I mean, I'm just looking on the Wikipedia page right now. Both left-wing and right-wing people in Japan are pissed at this film for different reasons.
Oh, shit. Yeah, because I haven't done any research on the film. All I saw was a trailer. That's all I know, and I know he's doing it, and I know it's got nominated and shit like that. Other than that, I've looked up no research whatsoever. And I'd like to read some thoughts on why some of these people are pissed off, though, because I probably can see why, but I could be wrong a little bit.
No, looking at it, I think you're right.
So, how about you, Lay? What you give it?
Well, I didn't even hear what you gave it.
Oh, I gave it a C.
Okay. I'm going to give it more of a low C it because I think the pacing towards the beginning kind of bothered me more than it seemed to you. Just because I've had that problem with Miyazaki films before where it's like, oh, God, just something happened.
Yeah.
And
Plus, I saw it late, too. I'm not gonna lie. I saw it pretty late.
Yeah, and it was another one of these things, especially with this one, where it was like, oh, God, just please something happen. And then the woman, and then Naruko, or whatever it is, came in, and I was like, oh, now we have some life. Good! Yeah. And look, there's a plate. Uh-oh. So, yeah, it's a low C, but I still highly recommend it.
Yeah, yeah. I ain't gonna lie. When she first introduced, I thought that was a 12-year-old boy.
Oh!
Dude, I was like, when she grabbed his hand, I was like, okay, I see the dress and all, but I don't know. Oh, man.
It is anime!
He looked at the screen and said, P1, this is Japan. We don't give a fuck about age over here. I was like, oh, well, then never mind. Then fuck away, my friend.
Honuzo, we return to the anime corner one other day!
Is that what he was saying when he was power driving that pussy?
God damn, I wish I had a gong. Good night, folks.
Oh, you know what? Damn, I'll do too now.
Just for any time we talk about anime on this show, it's just, people, it's time for anime! Ding!
Should look into a soundboard on a laptop.
I bet you $5 we have one.
Probably sure you can find a gong voice or whatever. Start next week's episode off with it.
There we go. Good night, folks.
Later, people.